your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
It's time to talk some football. Welcome to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report with former Buffalo Bill Jeff Nixon. Get ready to participate in an intelligent discussion about the Buffalo Bills and the NFL in general. Now, here's your host, Jeff Nixon.
Hey, welcome to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. Hey, I got a tremendous guest today. One of the guys that I think is one of the best offensive linemen ever played in the NFL. His name is John Hanna. He joined the New England Patriots in 1973 as a fourth overall pick in the 1973 NFL draft. He played his entire professional career in New England. John was named All-Pro 10 times from 1976 to 1985 and All-AFC 10 times from 1974 and then again in 1976 through 1985. John was also selected to play in 9 Pro Bowls. He is also one of the few players to have been named to the NFL All-Decade Team twice, as John was selected to both the 1970s and the 1980s All-Decade Teams, really joining an elite group of players who have achieved this, including Walter Payton. John Hanna was also selected to the NFL 75th Anniversary All-Time Team, being the number one guard in the team. In 1991, he was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. In 1999, he was ranked number 20 on the Sporting News list of the 100 greatest football players. He was also the highest-ranking Patriot, the highest-ranking guard, and he was only second to the offensive lineman behind Anthony Munoz. So anyway, I want to welcome John to the show. John, you there?
I'm here.
Great, great. Yeah, well, I mean, what a distinguished football career, you know, going 10 times All-AFC, 10 times to the Pro Bowl. And I really mean this when I said that at the top of the show, is I think you're one of the greatest linemen of all time. I mean, it must have been just a great honor to be finally selected into the NFL Hall of Fame. Did you go on the first ballot, by the way? Or did it take a little while for you to get in there?
What, in the Hall of Fame? No, yeah. In the first year.
Yeah, see, that says a lot right there. Any player that goes in that first year that they're eligible, you know, I mean, it's pretty much a unanimous decision by everybody that you're one of the greats of the Hall of Fame. You know, I mean, you got people that make the Hall of Fame, then you got people that are like what I consider the elites of the Hall of Fame, and I put you right up in that category. What college did you go to, by the way?
I went to the University of Alabama.
University of Alabama?
Yeah, I played with Coach Bryant back in, got out of there, 72 was my last season, so.
1972?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was it like playing for the Bear?
Well, I wouldn't take $1 million for the experience, but I wouldn't take $1 million to go through it again either.
He was a tough one, I hear, man.
He was tough. He was, he's very, you know, he's very demanding, and, you know, he taught, you know, he was just, you know, sent you through what he called a couple of gut checks all the time. So
yeah.
It was tough.
Did you guys compete for the national championship?
Well, when I first got down there, we were not very, you know, it wasn't as good a Alabama teams as they had. You know, it was 6-4, and then my sophomore year, we were 6-4. But we wound up 11-1 my junior year and 10-2 my senior year. And then I think the next year they split the national championship with Notre Dame.
Wow.
After I left. So yeah. we were I got there too early and didn't stay long enough.
You're right in that middle area with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good. So now you were two-time All-American, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you, you know, at that time, did you know that you which team you might be going to be playing for in the NFL? Was it kind of just, you know?
No, well, really, I don't know how it was when you came out, Jeff. But I mean, basically, you know, you just got a bunch of mail from different pro teams, and you know, the teams I got it from were like the Giants and the Cowboys and a few teams like that. I never got anything from the Patriots. Had no idea whatsoever. As a matter of fact, I didn't even know where exactly the New England Patriots were. I mean, I knew where New England was, but that's about right. It.
Well, you know, that's interesting because I remember when I was, you know, I was one of the, I was an All-American, consensus All-American my senior year. And so everybody said, well, you're going to go in the second, third round at the latest, you know, and so obviously the sports people and the media wanted to know where I wanted to play.
Right.
And I said, you know, I'd like to play anywhere except in Buffalo. And that's where I got drafted. I couldn't believe it, you know. And the only reason I said that, though, was because Buffalo had a terrible reputation for its weather at the time. And I got drafted in 1979, and Buffalo had what was known as the Blizzard of 77. It was a national, you know, thing that was, you know, you saw it plastered all over the news, and it showed drifts of like 10, 15 feet covering houses, cars, everything. And it was like, why would anybody want to live there? You know, that was what was going through my mind. And I knew that they didn't have a dome either. I was like, Jesus Christ, they got to play in that kind of weather during the wintertime too. So, I mean, but it was overblown. I mean, it was a bad storm. Don't get me wrong, but that's nothing. I mean, we haven't had anything like that in Buffalo since. It was a freak of nature, and we'll probably have it again one of these days, but so when I came to Buffalo, it was like, the people here are good, the weather's not nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be. But I played in the Northeast, we played against New England. As a matter of fact, what's interesting, the first game I ever started in was against New England Patriots.
Yeah?
Yep, and it was, you hurt me that day because I intercepted Grogan. He was trying to do a throwback to Stanley Morgan, and I picked off the pass, and I had 90 yards in front of me. But you had rolled out, and you cut me off. And I tried to get by you, but you slowed me up just enough for Stanley Morgan to catch me from
behind. Thank goodness I could slow you down. That's about all I could do, because I wasn't much of a very good tackler, that's for sure.
But I tell you what, you surprised me with your speed. I was like, this guy's catching up to me. So I had to try and give you a fake back to the inside, because you had to honor that, because, I mean, that was where all the field was, And so you took it a little bit, but just not enough for me to really make it back to the outside. And you hit me a little bit, just enough to slow me down so that Stanley could catch me from behind. And, we ended up winning the game. But that was the good news.
there was a lot of stuff in there. When we got there and played, I remember Buffalo. When I was first got there, it was OJ,
Oh, yeah.
Remember that, but that was unbelievable what that guy could do. And we got beat up by you guys a lot of times. It wasn't just a few times. So
yeah, it was.
I was used to that.
Yeah, but then things kind of got turned around there. Buffalo started, after we won lost our Super Bowl, the Freudian slip there, played in four straight Super Bowls, lost all of them. I wasn't with any of those teams, but, then New England just kind of dominated us after that. We haven't beat New England in, I think it was like, in eight of the last, seven of the last eight games we played with them. It may even be more than that. It's you guys have pretty much dominated the Buffalo Bills since then. All right, let me ask you: Do you still stay in touch with the team? Do they have you come into town?
Yeah, I do a little bit. The Patriots, matter of fact, when Bob Kraft got on board, he wanted to start building some tradition and get a lot of the older guys back. He started an alumni club, which was our sponsored the alumni group of our guys, which was really good. Allowed us to do some things along with the team, and he really built a very great sports museum there on I guess the campus of the Patriots with going back as far as football's beginnings, because the first football that was ever played were with the Ivies, so he's got that history there and a lot of film with Walter Camp and all those guys and. All the guys that have played with the Patriots over the years, starting back in 1960, and he's going to have a 50-year celebration. I think maybe the week before we had the opener with you guys on Monday night.
Yeah,
because they're celebrating the 50-year anniversary of the Patriots. So
yeah,
he's done a lot with a lot of the older guys, and he's really tried to create a tradition of New England football. And he's just, you know, my only regret of him owning the team is he owned it after I left.
Well, you know, I was kind of fortunate up here in Buffalo. We had, you know, Ralph Wilson as our, and he's been the only owner of the Buffalo Bills since its inception, you know. Yeah. And so, and he's been just fantastic as an owner. I got to say, the guy, you know, he treated me with respect the whole time I was there. And he still remembers my name, which is amazing. You know, he'll see us at a, you know, we typically have a big golf tournament every year at the that coincides with the first home game of the year, and he always comes out to it, and he remembers everybody's name. He's really sharp for his age, you know. He's getting up there. He's in his 80s now, so.
Well, you know, I talk with Joe DeLamalure a lot, you know, and he's had nothing but good things to say about him, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really great that, you know, you have an owner like that that not only is, a, you know, I guess what, it's kind of like Bob Kraft. I mean, the big thing with him, I think, is a lot of owners come in, they say, you know, how can I make money with this franchise? And I think Bob Kraft came in and says, well, how can I make money by building world championship teams?
Right.
And so, you know, the priorities were shifted just a little bit. And all that makes the difference in whether you're a winner or a loser, I think. And, you know, that's, I think, you know, the old Dallas Cowboys, you know, the old ownership had that mentality. You know, Dan Rooney has that mentality.
Well, you know, I think
they love the game first, and the rest of it comes as a consequence of loving the game, so to speak.
Right, right. And it's one of the key things you have to do as an owner is give the power to your coach. You know, let your coach, you know, do what he's there to do. And when Marv Levy was with the Bills, you know, he had just the perfect chemistry of coaches, players, management, you know, and they gelled. And you know, New England has gone through that. And I tell you what, if Tom Brady's healthy, they could be right back in the mix again real quick here. You know,
sounds like he is healthy, Jeff.
Yeah,
I mean,
it does.
Everything I've seen, so that would be good.
Yeah, it's going to,
anyway.
It's kind of scary for us here in Buffalo to know that he's going to be back in the fold, you know.
Yeah.
But it didn't hurt him last year. I mean, they still beat us both games, you know.
Well, he's a dynamic quarterback, you know, and to really use the two other weapons they got with Moss and Welker.
Yeah.
I think the offensive, you know, you mentioned the fact that they played well last year. I think, you know, to me, last year was the best year they had in a long time because, you know, they had so many offensive weapons, and then all of a sudden you get Brady hurt, and for the offensive line and the running backs to come through like they did last year.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that really built the teamwork.
Meaning
you got to go to an ad?
Yeah, let's take a little commercial break here, and when we come back, we'll pick up on both the New England Patriots and Buffalo Bills are going to do this year. You're with the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. We'll be back in a moment.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Show. Are you ready for some football? Well, here it comes. The Owen Hodge Show is bringing you the funniest hour in sports talk radio. This action-packed show is hosted by the outspoken fullback, Big Hodge, and the knowledgeable defensive back, Odie. This show will focus on the NFL, but touch on all things sports. Owen Hodge will provide you with a true player's perspective that'll give you insight, make you think, and definitely make you laugh. Owen Hodge have accumulated 6 championship rings, so obviously they know things. Check out the Owen Hodge Show at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
The Owen Hodge Show.
I know. Being a college freshman is supposed to be tough, but let me tell you about my schedule this semester. All 18 credits. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I have American Lit at 8:05 a.m., and then I only have 15 minutes to get to my 9:15 Ethics and Value Theory class all the way across campus, then in the afternoon, Calculus 1. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I have 2 lectures that go through lunch, Sociology of Families, then Intro to Microbiology. Pre-med. And finally, I have a double lab that ends around 9. p.m. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you.
If a kid will do whatever it takes to get through college, what will you do to send her there? Please support the United Negro College Fund and call 1-800-332-UNCF, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
You're tuned in to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report with Jeff Nixon. It's your turn to get in on today's discussion. Call Jeff now, toll-free, at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also drop an email to jeffnixon at AOL.com. Now, back to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report.
Hey, welcome back to the show. My guest today is John Hanna, a Hall of Famer, played his entire career with New England. You're not going to see that happen too much anymore in the NFL because of free agency, which was really nothing that we really experienced that much during our playing careers.
Wish
John.
We had.
Yeah, I know. Wish we had, you know. Really, the whole key to that thing was when the union decertified.
Yeah.
And they sued the NFL over antitrust laws, you know, and they're really, it's interesting because it could come down to that again. If the owners, let's say the owners do decide to do a lockout against the players, you know, the union could just decertify and go back to court and, you know, and you know, I think just that threat alone is enough to get them kind of scared about this whole thing. And let's hope it doesn't come to that. I hopefully they're, you know, they'll, you know, calmer heads will prevail and they'll come to an agreement because there's just so much money. I mean, we're talking about $8 billion now that's being pumped into the NFL, and all the teams are sharing it. You know, obviously some teams are, you know, benefiting a little bit more because they've got better markets and they've produced better teams. I mean, let's face it, New England probably wouldn't be doing as well in like selling seat licenses. They wouldn't be doing as well with merchandising and other things like that unless they were winning. And that, you know, having a winner makes a difference.
Well, that's, you know, every player, you know as well as I do, every player out there goes in the league. Yeah, they want to make money. I know during my era, probably 85 to 90% of the people went in there. And, yeah, there's no question that everybody wanted to make some money, and you knew that. But the other thing is that I think everybody wanted to do too was they wanted to be on a winning team. And winning is, you know, when all the contracts are over with, when everything's said and done, the biggest thing you want is to be on a winning ball club. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of teams don't have that, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for?
The smarts. they're just not smart enough.
Yeah, they don't look at it that way.
Well, you know, yeah, you're right, and maybe some owners are just like, hey, just as long as I'm making a profit, I'm okay with that, you know. And then you have other owners that, you know, they're gonna do everything they can. They're gonna make sure that they first of all have a great, you know, group of administrators that are, you know, general managers and people that are in the scouting departments and all that. And then obviously, you know, having a great head coach. A head coach makes a big difference on a team nowadays. I mean, we've seen it, you know, with your head coach there in New England, you know, the great teams from Pittsburgh and the great teams of the Cowboys, they had great coaches, you know, and they obviously they assembled good players too. You can't do it without good players, but you know, everybody, you know, that makes a difference for teams. And I just think there's some owners out there that don't, you know, put enough emphasis on all those things. And they're not, you know, they're not going to be successful. Unfortunately, Detroit seems to be like one of those franchises out there.
Yeah, right now, today, yeah. And that's the problem. I mean, you know, you get guys and guys want to, you know, they want to play for the, or at least have the hope. You know, it's awful hard. I know at the end of my career, I made some huge mistakes myself in the way that I, acted towards people and you know, some of the things I said in the newspaper and you know, a lot of things that were just, I knew were wrong, but I was so frustrated. I knew it was the end of my career. I knew, you know, that all these things were going on, and I just couldn't. I couldn't fulfill my dream, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And let's face it. Part of the problem was that we had the NFL Players Association really wasn't as I guess engaged in doing the things that they could have done during our era that could have brought us free agency. I mean, they were able to break our union so many times, and you know, a friend of mine who's on the line right now knows exactly what I'm talking about. Joining us here today is Bruce Laird. Hey, Bruce, you there? Bruce, are you on the line? Well, he was there a minute ago. We'll catch back up with him. Are you there, John?
I am here.
Okay, good. I just I got a note here that he was on the line.
I'm on.
Oh, you're there. Okay, good.
I'm on. Hey, fellas, how you doing? Hey, John.
Hey, Bruce, how you doing?
Great.
Yeah, we were just talking about you know, how the union, you know, was a little bit weak during our period of time. You know, I mean, there were some things we were able to achieve. You know, you know, one of the things in 1982 that we were able to do was set up a severance pay system for guys that, you know, if they were in the league for 4 years, they got a check when they left. You know, we were able to set up minimum wage standards for every player in the end, and you know, in the NFL, depending on what year you played, you were going to make at least a certain amount of money. But we weren't able to get the free agency, and free agency was really the ticket to breaking open the coffers and getting guys the kind of pay they wanted, and they finally got it. But it wasn't until they decertified as a union and, you know, went after the NFL over the antitrust laws, and we're really on the verge of winning that, and when the owners said, hey, look, we can't let that happen, we gotta settle. And they finally settled, and they said, look, what we're gonna do is we'll give you free agency, but we're going to cap the amount of money that we give to you guys. At that point, it was about 50% of the money. Now it's up to almost 60%, and a lot of owners are feeling the pinch on that. But, you know, that's what they agreed to in the last collective bargaining agreement. Now they don't feel it's right for them, and they're talking about a lockout. I don't see that happen. How do you guys feel about that? Bruce, what are you?
Well, I mean, it certainly doesn't make good business sense. They've had a wonderful run since 1993. I mean, after the 87 debacle and the replacement players, it took them like 5 years to come to agreement. And now everybody's reaping the benefits. How many new venues, so many new venues, naming rights for stadiums. It goes on. And the brand of the NFL has been tremendous. And what John and I and you, Jeff, and many other retired players are thinking about is the fact that we're kind of moving the pendulum to the fact that we truly believe, and I know Bob Kraft because I met him out there in Fort Lauderdale, he believes retired players are a huge asset. And I think the league is now looking at that because we're able to at least get a little communication going, which we've never had. I know you guys have been talking about strikes, and, you know, the only thing that got anybody to the table was court action, because every one of our strikes from 1968 was a short one right on through, have been dismal failures. And, you know, as a retired player community, what we're looking for is just an organization that we can talk to both of these institutions about our needs. And although they have no legal obligation to us, if we can sit down with both of these organizations and have at least a discussion and a voice in there, we're a lot better off than where we were.
Right, and the organization we're talking about is the NFL Alumni Association, and it just makes so much sense to go with the group, because this is an independent group. I mean, we're talking about a group that has 501c3 status, or is it 501c6, Bruce? I can't.
They have a 501c3, and they also have a 501c5, which has actually been dormant since 1977. It has no bylaws and no constitution, so we're thrilled to the fact that when a new CEO is named for the Alumni Association, he will take advantage of that C5, rewrite some constitution and bylaws, and go back to its original mission, which was it formed in 1967 to support the retired players' communities, the community itself.
Right,
And that's just an unbelievable opportunity, and we have to take advantage of that, and all retired players got to get on board.
Right, and John and I were talking a little bit about that. I haven't been that active with the NFL Alumni Association, and John, you mentioned that you haven't really been that active as far as doing that. Is there any NFL alumni chapters in your area up there, John?
In Alabama, no. There is somewhat of an active group in Boston area. That Rick Cash is heading up, and Steve King's very involved in. But, that's about it. There's nothing in Alabama that I know of.
Right, right. And you know what? I mean, these things can be started anywhere. I mean, you can start a chapter in any area. And, I know Bruce and some of the new board members on the NFL Alumni Association are going to look at all these things and see, you know, what we can do to start generating revenue, and that's the big thing with this whole thing is what can we do to help ourselves instead of continually going with hat in hand to the NFL owners and the NFL Players Association. Is, you know, we need to find ways to generate revenue on our own.
John was the perfect segue to that. John started the Fourth and Goal Classic. He ran a tremendous event up in Atlantic City, and that's one of the big pushes that we were able to use. And we used it with both the league and the union, talking about the assets of retired players. That's what we're talking about. And instead of, for years and years, the union has put us out as a liability. You know, they want their hat in their hand. They're always asking for something. And we've always contended that the makers of the game, the John Hanners, the Bart Starrs, the Roger Staubachs, right on down the line, from Hall of Famers to starters to Pro Bowlers, are a huge asset to these teams. And it's just been such an untapped market that no one knows where it's going to go. And now we have this opportunity to come on board. And I think everyone needs to understand that the alumni structure, as everybody knows, it will be completely restructured. A new CEO is going to come on board, hopefully shortly, within the next 2 months. He will garner and work with both the league and the union to work on all of these issues. So we won't be judged as guys looking for their handout, but we'll be a group of independent retired players that believe that their assets can be well managed and also help the dire need players, as what John started. I mean, so many guys from our organization, and John's on the board of Fourth and Goal, people forget that just a local group of guys coming together and reaching out to people like yourself, Jeff, and many others out there have raised over $500,000 in a short period of time, been able to give out over $78,000, $79,000 just in 208 alone to 15 family members, retired players, family and kids, with an all-volunteer staff. That's an all-volunteer staff except for one gentleman that is on board that helps us with our website and so on. And just think, if all that is harnessed with the right man at the helm that can work, again, both aisles, has to be able to talk to the league and the union about retired players as assets, and I think that's the message out there for the retired players community. Get on board, be part of a solution, and come up with a solution that works for all of us.
Yeah,
I guess back to the whole issue though, Bruce, is, and you know as well as I do, and you use this quote 1,000 times, is herding cats. I mean, the problem, you know, there's been, you know, the when Jeff was alluding to the old union, I mean, basically the leadership was there for itself and not for the player, going back to even Ed Garvey times. And
right.
Then now every player sees a job opportunity to become the next NFLPA for retired players, so bringing them all together has been really difficult.
Yeah. Hey, let's pick up on that that topic when we come back from the break. We're going to take a short minute here to run a few advertisers and sponsor messages. And you're with the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Your internet flagship station for sports,
Voice America Sports.
Hey, football fans, are you ready for an intelligent discussion about the Buffalo Bills and the National Football League? Are you tired of listening to talk show hosts that have never played football? Instead of answering your questions, they prefer to listen to themselves. And when they don't like what you're saying, they just cut you off. Well, that won't happen on the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. Keep it clean, stay relatively calm and rational, and the discussion will flow well. Join Jeff Nixon Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
And we're back. Bob from Scranton, you're on the air.
Hi, Ted. Love the show. Long-time listener. First-time caller.
Thanks, Bob. Is there a special someone out there you'd like to talk about?
There is, Ted. I recently lost a very big part of my life.
You'd been together a long time?
Since college. This is for my belly, my paunch, my spare tire. I know we had some good times. God knows I'll never forget that night in Albuquerque with the burritos.
It's never easy to lose something that's been such a huge part of you, Bob. Where'd the magic go?
Well, I'd recently begun taking the stairs more and more instead of the elevator, and then we started seeing less and less of each other. One day, it was just gone.
Small step number 67. Take the stairs instead of the elevator or escalator. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. That goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot. Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You're tuned in to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report with Jeff Nixon. It's your turn to get in on today's discussion. Call Jeff now, toll-free, at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also drop an email to jeffnixon@aol.com. Now, back to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report.
Hey, welcome back to the show. My guest today is John Hanna, Hall of Famer. And, John, we were right before the break. We were talking about herding the cats.
Yeah,
football players are a strange group. But, you know, we all, you know, have strong opinions about things, and you know, but one of the weaknesses we've had is we never seem to be able to agree on issues that, you know, could help us all as a group. And particularly recently, it just seems like, you know, we can't seem to get our act together, you know. And I, you know, this has been going on for quite some time now. You know, we've complained about issues, and I, you know, me and Bruce and yourself and some other guys, you know, we said, look, we finally got to get on one train and get this thing going here and get this thing moving. I'm not sure what other venue we would have other than the NFL Alumni Association to make some significant changes for retired players. I don't know, you know, I hear people saying that, oh, we need to form our own independent retired players group. Well, that's fine, but who's going to head that up? Who's going to organize that? Who's going to fund that? I don't know, you know. I mean,
I don't think as a last resort is what you want to do as far as doing that. I mean, the idea would be to get an entity inside. And this is my opinion. I think there needs to be an entity inside of the union that is dedicated solely to the retired player. There's the old saying, you can't serve two masters.
Right.
And what was happening is that the people that had the rights to the old player were the same guys that had the rights to the current player, and to try to, you know, endear themselves to the current player, they sold out a lot of things for the older player that could have made them a little extra cash and supplied a little some additional health benefits to them. So, you know, I think there has to be some segregation there. And, when you work at it, when you do the things, you do the marketing for these coffee table books or whatever, it goes with it. And, you know, there's a lot of guys out there that I think would support something like that if you could really segregate those two entities inside one organization. That way we still have the the common thread, but there's not the current players don't have to give up so much for the older, and the older don't give up much for the current, but we still work together.
Yeah, you know, and that's really been a sticking point with a lot of the retired players, is that right now the only people that can make decisions about our pension, our disability, any other benefits are active players.
Right.
There is no vote. No retired player has any say whatsoever. Now, we were always told over the years by Gene Upshaw that he's with us, he's there in that bargaining room for us, but the bottom line is he also told the active players that any time they give us benefits, let's say, you know, increase a pension plan or whatever, it takes away what they can give to themselves. So, you know, there's this natural instinct for them to say, hey, look, you know, we want to, you know, do, you know, make sure we take care of ourselves, you know. And so, you know, you've got that problem with the way the system is set up right now.
Right.
So the question is, what can we do, though, outside of that particular system, you know? And they did try to set up, the NFLPA, you know, did try to set up a retired players chapter, and they've done that. They've been successful in setting these up all over, you know, the United States. But that they did
the chapters are there, but they have nothing, you know, they don't have anything. They have nothing other than the current guys coming together and maybe having a couple of pops and talking.
Yeah, right.
But there's no vote. There's no
right
ownership of rights. There's no bargaining power, so to speak, to market anything.
Right.
So, you know, because you can't have your likenesses, you don't have access to the logos, you don't have access to anything. So what good is it just to have to say, okay, here's your organization, if you have to go to if it's just a get together to have a couple of pops and say hi to each other?
Yeah, and it's that.
That's not a lot of that's not much good.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, the local chapters, we have one here in Buffalo. We do a lot of fundraising for local charities. You know, that's a good thing too.
Yeah.
But this whole the whole thing with the national with the NFL Alumni Association is trying to do more for retired players. Most of the chapters are not set up to help guys that are in dire need, you know, and really to help, you know, just the average football player too. I mean, we're talking about maybe trying to market and get funding that, you know, and revenues that can be generated for all players, not just guys that are in dire need, but, you know, something that can help everybody. And that, I, you know, the NFLPA was trying to do that when they had everybody sign these group licensing agreements, but they never followed through on it. You know, they had the perfect vehicle to do it when they, you know, went to EA Sports and Madden Video. They could have easily given us the royalties from, you know, from guys that were in those games, but they didn't do it. And, you know, the rest is history. We sued them. We won the case, and now they got to pay, you know.
Right.
So,
have you seen any of it yet?
No. I mean, we're not going to see
we'll
anything
never see
until
it. We just, but it was a nice pat on our back.
Well,
but
yeah,
you know, because they'll, you know, drag it out and, you know, argue about if the compensatory damages were, you know, overjudged, and they'll, you know, and they'll appeal. And so, I mean, the key is, I mean, it helps and it gives us maybe a bargaining chip, but it really doesn't do a lot of the guys that are in need any good because it doesn't help them now. And it gets back to that old saying that a lot of guys were using, you know, delay and deny and hope they die or something like that.
Delay, deny, hope we die, yeah.
And unfortunately, that's happening to a lot of the older guys than you and I that are even, you know, less well off than we are because the retirement benefits are so low you know, they're having a tough time of it.
Well, yeah, and then, you know, there was also the issue of, you know, back in the day, the NFLPA was telling guys that, well, yeah, you can take an early retirement. You know, here we're going to make this option available for you. Not only that, we have this thing, it's called the Social Security, you know, option that you can take. You know, you'll get more money now, but then when Social Security kicks in, it'll drop. You know,
right.
I don't think people realize just how much of a drop. I mean, when you got a guy like Herb Adderley that, you know, Hall of Famer, played 12, 15 years, you know, making $170 a month pension, that's because of those decisions that, you know, were available to them. And I just think, you know, the NFLPA should have never made those available. But,
well, and then, you know, even Johnny Unitas, they advised him to take early retirement because when he had that issue with his elbow and all and couldn't use his arm, you know, they went directly and said, you know, how they told him how long it would take and the probabilities. And they said, well, if you really need the money now, what we'll do is, you know, just take early retirement. So, you know, he didn't realize the consequences that he was doing from taking the early retirement. So it was bad advice from our union.
Yeah.
So, you know, those kind of things are not good. You know, and it's not only the benefits. I mean, it's the insurance itself and a lot of guys not being covered. And, you know, in a lot of states, fortunately in Alabama, if you're self-employed or, you know, you it's required that an insurance company, Blue Cross Blue Shield anyway, has to cover pre-existing conditions. But in a lot of states, that's not law. And, you know, when a guy goes out and he has to, you know, have replacement surgery or some sort of repair for a back injury or whatever, you know, he's paying it out of his pocket. And, you know, there's been a lot of dramatic cases where guys basically gone into the poorhouse, not because they've mismanaged their money, but because they've had to pay for these expensive surgeries.
Yeah, and that's the other big issue, you know, the other 800-pound gorilla that needs to be talked about, and that is the disability plan, you know, that the NFL and the NFL Players Association have kind of agreed to. And then, you know, and I'll say this, you know, they've got some really generous benefits for the guys that are getting injured nowadays. I mean, but they really didn't have a lot back, you know, before 1980 for guys. You know, there was, you know, line of duty, you know, but there, you know, other than that, there wasn't a lot for the guys. And, you know, and it's just, it's a shame because, like you said, you know, they're using their income to pay for medical things, and they're using pension dollars that they get to pay for that kind of stuff. And really the only way you can help the older retired players is by increasing their pension, because there really is, they don't have any other benefits that they can fall back on. What's interesting is, you know, since 1993, the active players have been piling on, and I mentioned this in some of my postings on my blog, is that they should have been penalized, you know, for piling on when they started giving themselves these other retirement-type benefits instead of putting them into the pension plan like they should have.
Right.
If they'd have put the, you know, instead of putting money into the second career savings plan, like some of these guys are really going to need a second career savings plan, they're making $10 million a year. You know, do you think Eli Manning and Peyton Manning are going to need a second career savings plan? Obviously no. But, you know, they're pumping money into that. They're pumping money into this annuity plan for the players. They got a health reimbursement account. They got tuition assistance reimbursement account. They got the 5 years of free medical coverage after they leave the NFL. They have the severance pay, which, you know, I can't complain too much about because I got that when I left. But, you know, there's all these other benefits. I just think that if they'd have pumped that into that money into the NFL pension plan, you know, NFL, or I should say Major League Baseball players, they'd be the ones complaining that their plan is not as good as the NFL's.
Right.
So anyway, let's, you know, John, I know you got to run here. It's you've been just a fantastic guest, and I really appreciate you being on the show. Hopefully I can get you back on here sometime, okay?
Yeah, I look forward to it.
All right, John, you have a good day. You're with the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Makes all my boys say I'm too far gone. But is it worth it? I can't be sure.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Hey, football fans, are you ready for an intelligent discussion about the Buffalo Bills and the National Football League? Are you tired of listening to talk show hosts that have never played football? Instead of answering your questions, they prefer to listen to themselves. And when they don't like what you're saying, they just cut you off. Well, that won't happen on the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. Keep it clean, stay relatively calm and rational, and the discussion will flow well. Join Jeff Nixon Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn upon the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky, the eaters of men. cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. Four figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov. A message from the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
Are you ready to talk sports? I mean fantasy sports. Tune in to hear the latest fantasy news, injury updates, sleepers and busts, all with a new twist from the influence of pop culture and the music industry and their newly designed game, Suicide Fantasy Football. Get ready for the Butts and Butts Fantasy Sports Show. Brothers Jim and Eric Butts are ready to clue you in on the exciting world of fantasy sports. Make sure you're a part of the new revolution in sports radio. Catch the Butts and Butts Fantasy Sports Show Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network. You can never get too much Butts.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bitch his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
You're tuned in to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report with Jeff Nixon. It's your turn to get in on today's discussion. Call Jeff now, toll-free, at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also drop an email to jeffnixon at AOL.com. Now, back to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report.
Hey, welcome back to the show. I had John Hanna, Hall of Famer, on the show for the first half, and I have another guest on the show right now, and that music that you heard at the top of the show, at each of the breaks, that song, House of Pain, was sung by my wife, and she's on the line with me right now. Hey, babe, how you doing?
Hello there, Jeff Nixon.
You don't have to be so formal with me.
Well, you know, more importantly, I didn't just sing that song, I wrote it.
You wrote the song, yeah, and not only that, but you own the rights to it too, right?
Absolutely, and my co-writer is Mr. Flick Williams.
Yeah.
And I have to say hello to him. Hopefully he's listening because we just got back from Miami. We went down to the Black Film Festival, and a special hello to my new friend Robert Townsend. He was just so generous in speaking with myself and Juanita and Flick, and we really hope that everything that he does goes well.
Well, you really know how
because
to make
me jealous.
Because
we plan on writing the music for it.
You really know how to make me jealous, don't you?
Yes.
Hey, he's a good guy. I like Robert Townsend. You know.
Actually, we met a lot of the filmmakers there, and the whole reason we went is that most people don't realize that no matter what kind of script you write or how well your movie is actually cast with your actors, the only thing that really makes it fly is the right music.
Well, yeah, you know, you think about all the good movies, you know, they got great soundtracks.
Absolutely. Rocky wouldn't be Rocky without that song.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I'm expecting big things from you. You got to write the music for some movie, you know, maybe one at Robert Townsend, and then we'll make lots of money.
Well, actually, a gentleman actually approached me. You know, my goal in Miami was to come back to Buffalo with a script in my hands, and I did.
Good.
For a 6-week miniseries that may go on to be a computer game and video game. So we have a whole package for this particular filmmaker who asked me to take his script, see what we could do with it.
There you go. There you go. Hey, I also wanted you to let people know what's going on this summer. For those that don't know, my wife runs she is the CEO of a delinquency prevention program here in Buffalo. It's called National Inner City Youth Opportunities. The organization itself was started by a gentleman by the name of Randy Smith. And, you know, most people in Buffalo know Randy because he was a a Buffalo Braves basketball player, and he was, he had the Iron Man Award.
906 consecutive NBA games.
Right, and
he was also the MVP for the All-Star Game in Atlanta.
Yep.
He had a wonderful career, but the most important thing that he's done, I don't know that many other NBA players that have a 35-year legacy.
Yeah.
He started the agency in 1974, and it was a collaboration. Randy had the name recognition, and George Holt Jr., otherwise known as Butch, had the vision, and Charles L. Davis had the legal expertise to get together and form NICYO and incorporate it so that Randy would have an opportunity to give back to the fans that gave him so much. And I believe one day I was talking with Assemblywoman Crystal D. Peoples, who is now Assemblywoman Crystal D. Peoples-Stokes. Congratulations, Crystal. And she told me she was very instrumental in helping NICYO also get formed, and by making sure that we had seating for 3,600 spectators in an inner city park at Martin Luther King Park, and lights, which is something that you don't see too often in a park of our nature. We're one of the oldest Olmsted parks, and basketball was not really brought in there in the manner that it is until Crystal did it. And by the way, when she helped get that done, she was not an assembly person.
Oh, is that right? What was she?
She was simply a citizen in the city of Buffalo who wanted to make sure that the kids within the inner city would have the same type of facilities as the kids in the suburbs.
Well, that's good. I didn't realize that. Yeah.
Yeah, we have a lot of history. There's a lot of people who make up NICYO. Most people recognize me as the executive director and CEO, but there were the Chris Fullers and Larry Stitz and Bernard Mitchells, and just a collaborative effort of everybody involved. And Randy passed away, as you know, and I noticed when we were in Charlotte for the funeral, I was there, and when I'm reading the obituary, I noticed that they didn't touch on his biggest legacy, and that was
Randy
35 years
classic, yeah,
of an agency in the inner city, with or without funding. You know, Randy used to call me and just say, okay, are you still there? Can you keep it going? And I said, absolutely, I will protect your name and your legacy so that your children will be able to come here to Buffalo and play on those courts. And those children's children will always know the effort that Randy Smith actually put into the community. As an athlete, yes, he was wonderful, but his commitment to the community was unsurpassed by, I think, anybody else in the NBA. Because when Randy played, he didn't have those million-dollar contracts.
That's true, yeah. They weren't making that kind of money back then either.
Right, so it took a lot of heart for him to do what he has.
Yeah.
And when I was in North Carolina with his family, I had promised a couple family members that no matter what, there would always be a Randy Smith League. And we've had some issues, I'm sure you know, because while I was in North Carolina, I received phone calls about the possibility of us never having our funding restored. There's a few things going on in Albany right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And people laugh when I say, I'm singing and dancing my way across this continent because I haven't had a paycheck since October. And I know you, as my husband, you're not very thrilled with that. But we don't work for a paycheck. We work to make a difference.
Yeah, I know.
And I've been very lucky that I have had clients who have come up through that program and come back. I couldn't survive without Tim Jackson. Most people call him TJ. I could not survive without Brenda Jones. I could not survive without Roscoe Henderson. I could not survive without India Varner. I'm so proud of our clients growing up and saying, we're going to come back and run this program whether you have any money or not.
Yeah, the beauty of it is, I mean, since the organization is like 35 years old, you've got people that were in it that are now can give back, you know, and they do in their own special way.
And that's why I want to make sure I could publicly give credit where credit's due. I simply am the captain of the ship, but the captain means nothing if you don't have any oars in the water.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't go anywhere. And so there's a lot of people together that make sure. I met a new young man this year. He's so determined. His name is Mark Smith, and another young man, Curtis Jeffries, and they're quite determined to help me bring the league to a different level. And I told them, whatever you can do, whatever you want to do, if it's going to benefit our kids in our community, the answer is yes.
Right. So let the folks know what they need to do, because we've only got a minute left in the show.
We're going to be starting the Young People's Division starting on Monday, July 6th. People can call in to area code 716-912-4166 or email me at joycenixon@aol.com. JeffNixon@AOL.com. Hit me up on Facebook or come to my MySpace page, MySpace.com/Joyce Nixon/Joyce Wilson Nixon. I've made sure you can find me, because any help that we can have, because we don't know what's going to happen with our funding, will be greatly appreciated. And even if you don't have a dollar, I tell people, not everybody can do everything, but everybody can do something.
There you go.
Come on and join us, whether you want to coach, help the kids, cheer us on, help us sweep up, get the shirts, print, anything you could do, we need you. Let's get team and ICYO together and make sure that our children have a safe summer.
All right, there you heard it, folks. So help out any way you can. You got the numbers, you got the emails. This has been the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. We'll see you again next Monday, 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
God bless.
Don't even talk or use my voice. On pins and needles I do walk on. Make some of my boys say I'm too far gone.
In the house of pain.
Thanks again for participating in an engaging discussion of football on the Jeff Nixon Sports Report with former Buffalo Bill Jeff Nixon. Join us again next Monday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Network. In the house of